From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. And all during today's show, we're going to be talking about fights for environmental justice around Illinois. Later this hour, we'll talk to hunger strikers aiming to keep a scrap metal plant out of a Chicago neighborhood and ask how old coal-fired power plants can safely be destroyed. But first, water. One of the essentials for all life on Earth, of course, and yet there are still places in Illinois struggling to provide people with safe and affordable water. In Joliet, the groundwater supply is running out, and city officials have voted to buy Chicago's Lake Michigan water to ensure it can keep up with its population's water needs. Meanwhile, in Centerville, Illinois, a predominantly black and low-income community in the Metro East part of the state, residents have been living for decades with sewage overflows. Joining us now to discuss these two crises are Morgan Green, a Metro reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Hello, Morgan. Welcome to the 21st.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And we also have with us Catherine Smith, who's a freelance journalist who recently published an article about Centerville in The Guardian. It's titled, "If White People Were Still Here, This Wouldn't Happen, The Majority Black Town Flooded with Sewage." Hello, Catherine. Welcome to the 21st.
Hi, happy to be here.
And listeners, we want to invite you to join in our conversation. Maybe you're a listener in one of these areas, or you live in an area that has had its own struggles with water supplies, whether drinking water or wastewater. Please give us a call. The number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Of course, you can also tweet us at 21st Show. Morgan, I want to begin with you. What is the issue with Joliet's water supply?
Yeah, so Joliet is nearing the point when their wells might not be able to meet the demands for the city. So it's a quantity issue. But a complication of dealing with these deep wells is that there isn't a set date when the wells suddenly won't be able to pump enough water. So Joliet officials, as well as officials in some neighboring communities, have been turning to scientists at the Illinois State Water Survey who work on groundwater modeling, and that helps to give them an idea of when they might want to consider switching off. And so the deadline that Joliet is working with is 2030. That's when officials think they might start to see some significant issues.
Is this an issue that people knew was coming? Has this been on the horizon for a few years, or is this something that maybe people knew about decades ago?
Yeah, it's certainly, Joliet is not the first community to make this decision to switch over. Other communities decades ago left these deep aquifers that the wells depend on and switched over usually to Lake Michigan water. And part of that is just the geology. The deep wells draw from sandstone aquifers, which you can kind of think of as these pressurized sponges hundreds of feet below land surface. But here in northeastern Illinois, they are located below layers of shale, which blocks precipitation. So the way that they're recharged is from parts of the sandstone that are closer to the surface near north central Illinois. And that's where recharge is able to happen, but it's a really slow process. And then on top of that, Joliet is near a fault zone, which might block additional water. So that's part of the story. And then on top of that, withdrawals just haven't been sustainable. So for a very long time, more water is being taken out from these aquifers than is being replenished. So it's been a long time coming.
Look at this. I love the geology we're getting here on the 21st this morning. Catherine, I want to bring you into the conversation. We're going to kind of weave these two together. Can you tell us a little bit about the town of Centerville, Illinois, which is in a different part of the state? What kind of community is it?
Centerville is very small. It's about 5,000 people, about 95% African-American community. They're a low-lying area, so they're situated in a floodplain, so they're prone to having they're prone to floods anyway. But what's been happening the last couple decades is that they're getting floods very, very often, way more often than they used to. And part of that is their sewage network, their wastewater network, is a combination of open drainage ditches and underground pipes and pumps, and none of it's functioning properly. And there are overlapping authorities that are supposed to be maintaining these different networks. And it's very difficult for people to figure out who's responsible when something goes wrong, when someone's house is flooding, who do I call, what do I do? And the people that I spoke to who live in the town say that, you know, for years they've been complaining to their local elected officials and to their utility companies. And it just, nobody wants to help them, they feel like. And they finally formed a community action coalition to deal with some of these problems because they feel like their cries have gone unheeded for too long.
What is this? You mentioned open drainage ditches is part of their sewer network and flooding. Can you talk about some of the examples people are facing? I think many of our listeners might have a hard time imagining this is what infrastructure still looks like in places in 2021. What does that look like on the ground?
So they have roadside ditches in town that are supposed to carry away some of the stormwater. And those are supposed to be maintained by the city, but they are overgrown a lot. So you'll frequently find weeds and small trees blocking the flow. There's hillside communities around the town higher up at higher elevation. So there's like other debris and sediment that travels into those ditches from the higher elevations. So they need to be scooped out a lot. And it's just the maintenance is too much for the town. The town is very poor and they just don't have the money to be scooping out and maintaining and clearing these ditches as often as they need to be.
Okay. Roadside drainage ditches. Maybe that is a little more common. Maybe I overstated that, but people are actually seeing like wastewater coming up in their yards and things like that, right? What role does this have with drinking water in the town? Is that safe?
Well, it's not clear exactly what's going on with the town's drinking water. I spoke to some scientists who have gone door to door in some neighborhoods and tested the tap water. Now, their results are not published yet, so they couldn't share with me exactly what they found. But I did speak to a number of residents in town that said their water just smells like sewage. There's something wrong with it. And they don't drink it anymore. They get bottled water. And it's not clear how widespread the problem is throughout town. You know, I talked to the mayor and some other elected officials, and the water at their houses is okay to drink. So there seems to be some problems with the pipes are really old. So it could be a matter of, you know, the infrastructure is just failing and in a non-uniform way in different parts of town. It's really unclear. And there needs to be some kind of assessment. It's just not happening at a rate that it needs to be happening because, you know, people are using bottled water for everything except bathing. And that's not an acceptable situation for the residents.
Yeah. Yeah. Morgan, let's go back to Joliet. Officials there recently voted to obtain water from Lake Michigan. It could have gone with other sources like the Fox River. What was the reasoning there?
Yeah. So they, a few years ago, officials in Joliet started to narrow down a significant list of options. And they were asking questions like, is this source going to be sustainable? Is it reliable? What is the quality? You know, how much is it going to cost? What level of control will we have over it? And then, of course, can we have it up and running by 2030? And so they narrowed it down. The Fox River in particular, there are, I think one consideration was low flow restrictions, which means that they would have to have a backup water supply. And for the Fox River in particular, they were looking at potentially in excess of 6 months of a backup supply, which I think was a consideration there. But the finalists ended up being Lake Michigan Water, either from Chicago or Hammond. And then, of course, they ended up going with Chicago.
And by making this decision, you've reported that the average monthly bill for residents could quadruple in the next 20 years from about $34 to nearly $140. I mean, why is that? And how would that affect people there?
Yeah, so with a change like this, there are significant costs that come along with it, from the new infrastructure and construction, as well as making improvements to existing infrastructure, and then, of course, just the cost of water. And so Joliet has two options they're looking at, one in which they build a system to meet their demands, and then the other in which nearby communities would join on and help share in the costs. So that figure of an average bill potentially quadrupling is if they go it alone. That is the estimate that city officials said residents could be looking at, which I think for some residents is a real concern and could absolutely affect their day-to-day lives.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking with two reporters who've been covering two separate water crises in different parts of Illinois. Morgan Green's a Metro reporter for the Chicago Tribune, who's been covering the diminishing water supply in Joliet. And Catherine Smith is a freelance journalist who's written a recent piece for The Guardian about Centerville, Illinois, where sewage water is sometimes overflowing into plain sight. And Catherine, you've written that the community members have felt ignored by politicians and the local other authorities, but there is some hope on the horizon about after a lawsuit. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, last summer, two of the residents of Centerville sued the city, some of the elected officials, and their local sewage authority. And they're not asking for monetary compensation. They just want the infrastructure that connects to their houses to be fixed. And the hope there is that it won't only fix the problems that are happening at their homes, but also the houses immediately around their homes as well. So it'll bring relief to other members of the community who did not come forward to be part of the lawsuit. But obviously that only touches on two pockets of the community. It doesn't address the problems overall, but I mean, it's a start. This problem has been getting worse for the last 20 years, and they're finally starting to make progress on it.
And what about the mayor? You mentioned that the water seems fine coming out of the tap in his house, I believe, or at least some city officials. What is the mayor, though, Marius Jackson's role in all of this?
I'm really not sure. He claimed when I spoke to him that he wasn't aware that the flooding and the sewage problems were as bad as what was described to me by residents and by their lawyers and by researchers who had visited the town to study what's been happening. He has been invited to a number of community action committee meetings that he has not attended. He's told me that he's sent representatives for himself, but I mean, I think, you know, if he had attended those, he might be more aware of some of the problems. You know, he told me that when he goes outside his house after a big rain, he can smell sewage. So he's aware of some problems, he said, but he just, you know, I gave him a rundown of some of the things that residents had told me over and over. And he said that he just didn't know. Now this is a really small town, so it's not clear to me how he couldn't know this, but that's what he said.
And finally, I wonder about higher authorities here. What about the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency? Do they have a role? Is this something that's on their radar?
Yeah, this has been on their radar for a number of years. It's unclear what they've been doing all this time. They, you know, have started engaging with the community members only in the last year. So, you know, why they knew and didn't do anything else is anybody's guess.
Okay. And Morgan, let's return to Joliet. You spoke with some residents in your coverage. They mentioned they don't trust the tap water enough to even cook with it in Joliet. Would the water from Lake Michigan, which is treated by the city of Chicago, would that be cleaner than the well water that Joliet uses today?
I mean, Joliet certainly, they have a number of water treatment plants for the well water. I do think some residents are looking forward to the switch to Lake Michigan water. It's generally considered to be high quality. But I think the most important thing for residents at the moment is just knowing that they're going to wake up in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years and have a sustainable supply. You know, I think that's something that we take for granted sometimes, and we don't think about until you face an issue like this, where you have to make a kind of massive shift in where you're getting your water from. So I think that they are hoping that, you know, officials will make decisions that play out in a way that means that they're getting safe, affordable water every day in their homes.
And finally, Morgan, last question. If the Illinois Department of Natural Resources approves Joliet's application for Lake Michigan water, what happens next? What can Joliet residents expect to see?
Yeah, so the process continues along, and they'll be designing and then building, and then hopefully the system will be online by 2030 before any major issues pop up, and they'll switch over. And then, yeah, they'll be drinking Lake Michigan water.
A lot of building and infrastructure to come between now and then, it sounds like. I want to thank my guests for talking with us today about these two crises in different parts of Illinois. Morgan Green is a reporter with the Chicago Tribune who has been covering Joliet and the issues they've had with their groundwater supply running out. We've also been speaking with Catherine Smith, a freelance journalist. She had a recent piece in The Guardian about Centerville, Illinois. If you want to read it, it's called If White People Were Still Here, This Wouldn't Happen, The Majority Black Town Flooded with Sewage. Morgan and Catherine, thanks so much for being with me today on the 21st.
Thank you.
Listeners, coming up, we're going to be going to Chicago on the radio, at least, talking with some activists on the southeast side who have just recently ended a month-long hunger strike protesting the relocation of a metal shredding plant from a relatively affluent neighborhood to their lower-income neighborhood. That is coming up here on the 21st. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.